It's our last episode of 2021. Let's get started.
Sir, I will live with perseverance in the spirit of Taekwondo. Courtesy for fellow students. Integrity within myself. And to become a black belt leader. Welcome to the ATA Nation Podcast.
Ladies and gentlemen, sirs, ma'ams, instructors, parents, students of Songam Taekwondo, welcome to the ATA Nation Podcast. I am your host, Senior Master Zach Hayden, and I am excited to be back with you again. Episode number 36. As I said in the intro, the plan is that this will be our last episode of this year. We're going to take the month of December off, get ready for a new year of great episodes. We're going to kick off with a fitness focus in January. But this time of year, everybody's busy, lots of things going on. We're going to take a little break from the podcast. So you can get everything you need done for the holidays. I can get everything I need done for the holidays. And, just give everybody a little break. I will, of course, miss you guys. And I will be reaching out to our insiders with some questions over the holidays and things like that. So you might want to make sure that you jump on the insider bandwagon. If you haven't joined us yet, all you have to do is text us at 260-250-3975. You got an idea for a podcast episode? Shoot me a text. You got a guest you want to hear on the podcast? Shoot me a text. Just let me know. 260-250-3975. This is not my personal number. This is a special number we have set up just for our insiders. And I love getting stuff from them. There's people who are really enjoying the podcast, mentioning all kinds of their goals and what they were thankful for. It's just nice to get messages from everybody. I can talk to you guys in the insiders about, future guests, things like that. Today's episode, we have with us Chief Master Skiles. He's planning stuff for Spring Nationals. We are talking about setting goals, and I think training, of course, is part of the goals that we want to set for 2022. So I had him come on, talk about the things that he's got planned for Nationals training-wise, also a goal that he set for himself. So let's get right to that special guest interview.
Special guest interview.
ATA Nation, we have with us Chief Master Skiles from the ATA Training Department. How are you today, sir?
I am great, sir. Great, sir. Excited to talk to you.
Awesome. Well, I wanted to have you on. We've been talking about goals in November, and though this episode will come out in December, I think one of the great things that we can do as students of martial arts is head to one of the national events and continue our training and continue setting goals for learning more, competing, things like that. So I wanted to get you on and talk a little bit about what you guys have planned in the training department for Spring Nationals, which will be here before we know it.
Yes, sir. You know, it's hard to believe that the year is almost over and we're about to roll into 2022. It's crazy. I am thankful that we have a little bit extra time to plan for Spring Nationals. You know, typically here in the last few years, it's, you know, we've been early March. It's even been in February before. And so the extra This early April, middle of April time frame does give us a little bit of a reprieve from the hecticness it is from rolling from one to the other.
Yes, sir.
Speaking of goals, just on a personal note, they've opened up competition now for 8 degrees, and I stepped back into the ring at Fall Nationals.
Yes, sir.
I did well in some areas and not so well in some other areas. And even though I did well in a couple things, I wasn't pleased with my overall performance. So just a reminder to everybody out there, whether you win or lose, there's always room for improvement. And, I did well in forms and weapons, traditional weapons. So I think I have a little bit of a bullseye on my back. So I know that getting ready for spring nationals, from a personal standpoint, I'm going to try to sneak through the holidays with just trying to do some maintenance training. But once the new year kicks in, just like everybody else, it is in high gear, ready to go, because I want to do even better personally in my competition.
Well, that's awesome.
At Spring Nationals. I challenge everybody out there.
Yes, sir. I was judging next to your guys' ring at Nationals. I was like, oh, that's so cool. And then I wondered how, for me, it's intimidating. I'm thinking like that's, you know, going to be my ring soon. Like these guys are some of my heroes in there. And then I look, and it's probably got to be a little intimidating for you just to step back into the ring after so many years. Just, you know, not having done it. And then now, like, you know, you kind of have a reputation as, you know, the guy from training department. So does that add some pressure to you?
I'll be honest with you. It does a little bit, you know. It's the old adage, you know, walk the walk, talk the talk, walk the walk, whatever it is. But, you know, when you do present yourself in the position that I'm in as the, you know, the person that leads the legacy training, and I, you know, talk about how, you know, the curriculum is, you know, SOM curriculum is to be taught and done. And I do feel a little bit of that pressure on there, which was one of the reasons why I wanted to get back in the ring after so many years. More so to prove it to myself that I still, you know, have, you know, the skills that I had, you know, years ago. And it was a little intimidating though, for the competitors that I was up against. You know, I was in there with Master Davidson and Master Neary and Master Spiace and, you know, Master Dendy. And Master Dendy is the last guy I lost against, you know, with, in a tiebreaker for a form, you know, so, you know, and I've watched these guys all compete for them, you know, all these national events, and I'm at the oldest age in the division. So I am the oldest competitor in the division. I'm not using that as an excuse, but you know, these guys have a couple of years on me. They're a little bit more youthful, but I didn't use that as an excuse to not compete anymore. My last sparring match against Senior Master Neary, I think the last 20 seconds, my hands were on my knees and just praying that he wasn't going to take my helmet and kick it across the ring.
Yeah, he's a phenomenal martial artist.
You know, and so I didn't win, but I survived, and that was one of my goals for the day.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. You know?
But I'm not pleased with that, so I need to do better and represent myself, represent the department, represent the ATA, my instructor, my family, all of those people. I feel are more important to represent than even myself. So I want to make sure I'm going to step up my training and do even better at Spring National. That's my goal.
Well, that's awesome. Well, you know, if you guys want to, you know, share any video online of you and Mr. Haynes sparring down there at headquarters, we would love to see that in ATA Nation. I'm just saying.
Ooh, well, yeah, that's I'm going to predict that's going to be a one-sided video, though. I mean,
those legs.
But absolutely. Those legs. But you know what? He's a great training partner. And if I can do moderately well against him, I think I got a pretty good shot in my division. So.
Yes, sir. Well, speaking of, you know, training for yourself, I know one of the first things at Spring Nationals is the mastership training. And I think you said this isn't just for people going through the mastership training for the new year, but this is for all masters to come to. Is that correct?
Absolutely. You know, it's always been available to the masters, but we never promoted it. We never encouraged it as much as we did last year. You know, what we want is we want our current masters, especially the new sixth degree master nominees, to really feel included into that group and be mentored a little bit by the current masters, senior masters, chief masters, and welcoming them to that elite group of people in the organization. That, you know, although we see lots of masters going through the ceremony, still from a percentage standpoint, it's a very special and small group of people as a whole. So we kind of last year talked about it and promoted it a lot, and kind of the mindset that we want people to have is it's kind of like a class reunion type of a feel to it. Every year, get with your class of masters, senior masters, chief masters, and come back and train with that group of people that you went through that process with one, two, or possibly even three times if you're a chief master, and set that example and set that expectation for the new generation that's coming up. So last year it was, even coming off of, we were still, in the middle or maybe tapering off of the pandemic, but we had 40 masters, previous or current masters, come in and join the training. So it was a great experience. I know from talking with some of the 6-degree master nominees that they appreciated it. They appreciated having that support from them and that guidance and that, that camaraderie. So I encourage all current masters, if you're available on Wednesday, to come in and train, to come and join that group that's coming up through the ranks this time.
That's excellent. That makes me want to jump in there and do that. We'll have to talk to the wife and see if I can get out there earlier.
Understandable.
But yes, I think those mastership trainings, getting together with the new masters, the people. I always love when I go, the Vanguard class usually has a really great showing, and we like to get together and get our pictures, talk and stuff. So Wednesday looks like it's got a lot of great stuff with that mastership training. The combat sparring curriculum, which is fantastic. Some review of the color belt weapons. I know the color belt weapons program is just off and running fantastically. I have taken the Zhongbong and both the single and double Songzhibong. We're teaching it in our school right now. And at Nationals, you guys are going to be introducing single and double Bongmongi. Is that correct?
That is correct. And, so we've tried to in the last couple, spring and fall national events, just condensed training down to one day. That's typically what we've done in the past. We had business one day, training on another day. But with all of the new and exciting curriculum that we're producing and putting out there, it was just impossible to put everything on one day. So we had to expand it to two. And what's helped is all the business training that's being offered via the Thrive seminars and online and that type of stuff. It has freed up the schedule, so to speak, to be able to go back to doing a 2-day training cycle. But the other goal that I've been trying to stick to is anything new that we introduce, I make it a point to offer that seminar for at least 3 national events consecutively. And so that way, if you didn't get, if you've missed an opportunity, whether you weren't there or you had to do something else, you've got 3 opportunities to get to it. And so with combat sparring and the mid-range Zhongbong color belt curriculum, with this being the 3rd time it's being offered, we pushed it to Wednesday because, statistically speaking, there's less people, I think, that have had the opportunity to get to those. If you really need to get to it, you're just going to have to spend that extra day. And then the newer stuff is on Thursday. So combat sparring, color belt weapons, mid-range Zhongbong is on Wednesday. Now, it's not the last time we'll ever offer it. We just have to, with all the other stuff that we're offering, we're just going to have to maybe just put it on pause for a little while. But I also know the Senior Master Kaminsky and Mr. Barry, Master Co, we are planning to do those 2 seminars virtually as well.
That'd be great.
And then I think, with 2022, the way things look like they're going with the country opening up and stuff, they're going to be out on the road teaching this stuff regionally as well. So that's another thing to look forward to.
That's awesome. What you guys have been introducing a new weapon each national event. It looks like we're going to be through all the main weapons. What are there any more color belt weapons planned?
Yes. So Worlds will see the introduction of the Sungnauts.
Oh, yes, sir.
And then Fall National will be a color belt Gundo.
Very cool.
And that'll be the that right now is what's slated to be released. And that's not saying we won't do something in the future, but those are all the weapons that we have slated for color belt curriculum at this time.
Very cool. It looks like you guys also have a forms training for the black belt weapons. I saw there was a bunch of excellent instructors down at headquarters not long ago, all working on the ProTech and getting together. Can you give us a little update on how that weapons training is going and what that's going to be like?
So that weekend was phenomenal. The 30 or so instructors that we brought in did a tremendous job. We have about three instructors per weapon. They all had homework. They came in prepared with some clarifications, questions, consistency things that we want to make sure that we have, not just within the weapon itself, but then across the board with the rest of the weapons. And it was a day and a half of really intense training, discussion, deliberation, presentations, and development of the team. It was an opportunity for them to work together with their own individual weapon group, but then to work together as a weapon group as a whole, all of us working together. So I was really pleased with it. I got a lot of great feedback from all the participants that were here. Just they were thrilled to be a part of the future of what our weapons program is gonna consist of. And I don't want to share too much with you because it's all still pencil at this point. But our goal is to launch the new team of instructors, a little bit different, you know, kind of a format of training seminars at Worlds next year, 2022 is our goal.
Yes, sir.
So with the weapons kind of review that we did at Fall Nationals, we just picked the remaining weapons that we didn't touch on at Fall for spring, and then we'll just start anew at World Championships. So we're pretty excited about it. So some really cool things. Really excited about this new team. They got some youth, some energy. I think all of the weapons, they all have, I think, a complete mixture of 6th, 7th, and 8th degrees. So we have kind of three generations of instructors, so to speak, if you want to refer to it that way, all working with the different weapons, and I'm pretty excited about it.
Well, I saw the pictures from your training, and I know a bunch of those instructors, and it looks like a phenomenal group of martial artists, and I think they're going to do an amazing job. So really excited about the future of the weapons here in the ATA. It's going to be pretty awesome. And it just goes along with the color belt weapons curriculum, which has just been a blast. I'm really enjoying teaching the, we're doing Song Zhimong right now in our school, and I'm really enjoying teaching those. Just all kinds of great things coming from, weapons in ATA.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
You know what? There's so much stuff I want to ask you about. Let's hit one more thing real quick. The experience program. This is a kind of an update, a relaunch, helping instructors teach creative extreme martial arts from Master Turner and Master Suwalzi. Just give us a little overview of what this is going to entail.
Sure. I think Master Suwalzi and Master Turner is, I think, their reputations from a competitor standpoint in the creative and extreme divisions speak for themselves. Lots of titles between the two of them, and not just with the creative and extreme, but also with the demo teams. Right. Yes, so, you know, that's something that is going to be kind of a branch of this as well, because, you know, a lot of the creative and extreme is what, you know, the demo and the team sync stuff is built off of. But what maybe a lot of people aren't familiar with the two of them is their level of instruction. You know, Master Suwalzi has taught traditional forms for us in the past with Mr. Haynes at World Conference in the past. So, you know, both of them are traditional martial artists at heart and at their core, but just excel in the Craven Extreme as well. And so their instruction ability is what they're bringing to this program. I think most will agree that, you know, with the introduction of the XMA program years ago, we had a lot of curriculum. Personally, the way I always felt about it, and maybe some will agree to me, is that just the amount of instructional training on how to teach this style of martial arts was an area that was lacking. Mm-hmm. And so what Master Turner and Master Swazi have put together, this experience program, is going to be focused mainly right now on training instructors on how to teach our traditional Songlam techniques in a creative and extreme way. They were just here about 2 weeks ago. They filmed all the curriculum. And what was really remarkable to me to see and hear is them utilizing terminology that everybody's familiar with Songlam Taekwondo. Mm. And so making the connection to our traditional martial arts and Craven Extreme, it's just adding a little bit of a flair to the way you do something. It's still a knife and strike is still a knife and strike. A chop is a knife and strike. A punch is a punch. A front stance is a front stance. You know, a side kick is a side kick. And if you don't have those basic fundamentals, you're not going to succeed in Craven Extreme.
Yes,
so they are, like I mentioned, they're traditional martial artists, Songlam martial artists at heart. They're just want to help instructors learn how to teach this material and present this material with that Craven Extreme flair to it. But it's really the same stuff when push comes to shove. And they want to be able to make sure that people get over that stigma that you have to be able to do this stuff in order to teach it.
Yes, sir. Well, right? And there's such a it seems that in the who knows how many years it's been since it was introduced, that there has gotten to be a little bit of a divide between the schools and people who are the top extreme and then everybody else. And so it seems, I think, for a lot of instructors that the barrier to entry for your students, because let's say I don't feel comfortable with extreme or creative teaching, it's just such a harder barrier to entry because my student goes to a tournament or goes somewhere and they see somebody flipping and tricking and all this kind of stuff. And they're like, well, my students can never do that, so we're out. And it would be great. It sounds like this program is really going to help onboard more people into understanding that you don't have to be a crazy tricker. You don't have to do all these things. You need to be able to do great martial arts and add this, extreme, this flair to it that is not, super difficult. It just has to be taught in a special way.
Yes. And maybe special isn't the right word.
Yes,
just,
sir.
Maybe just slightly different. Right. But, you know, when watching them film, you know, they teach a front stance, they teach a front stance. Front knee bent, back leg locked, toes pointed in the right direction. You're in a front stance, right?
Yes, sir.
It's just, it doesn't go forward like in Songlam 1. It goes on an angle this direction.
Yes, sir.
It's still a front stance, right? And, you know, the curriculum that they put together, they've packaged it really well because they teach, you know, different hand techniques with, you know, straight lines, spins, level changes. So there's enough here, like you said, to get people that entry level. And this is just the phase one part of it. You know, there's so much, just like Songlam Taekwondo, there's so many different, so many difficulty levels to our techniques.
That
in this first level, it's an introduction, and they're teaching you the stuff, and you're going to learn how to teach the stuff that these athletes are doing now. These are the moves that are making up the forms from these world champions that they're doing now. These are the moves that they're that are because it just like everything else, it there's evolution to it, right? Yes, they're always adding a variation to this or variation to that. So they're really on the cutting edge with bringing you the stuff and the foundational stuff that everybody's using out there now. And then you can, in the future, they'll be able to provide that next level to take those students to, you know, yes, the new heights.
Well, that's awesome. Another great program coming from ATA with some fantastic martial artists at the helm. The national schedule is just completely packed. There's other stuff we could talk about, but probably as we get closer, we'll get some other people on and go over some of this exciting stuff, like the Vision Tour for presiding Grandmaster nominee MK Lee, which is super exciting. You know what? We'll have him on the podcast one of these days and have him talk about it. Gumdo testing, all kinds of awesome stuff. So if people haven't registered, they need to go to atamartialarts.com and go to the events section and definitely check that out because there's all kinds of awesome training. Any last words for ATA Nation before we wrap up today, sir?
I just want to say to ATA Nation, thank you for all your support. From a headquarters standpoint and specifically in the training department, all the support people have given over the last, year and a half, coming up on 2 years now with the virtual training seminars that we've offered, the live stuff that we did, your feedback, all the feedback that I get emails after seminars, whether they're virtual or live, all of that feedback means a lot to us. As long as it's honest feedback, we can learn from it and grow. And the improvements and the things that we're putting out there primarily are based on the feedback that everybody's giving. So I just want to give a big shout out to ATA Nation and just so proud of everybody's their perseverance, that we've had over these last, 2 years has just been tremendous. The organization is in a, the arrow is pointing up as my Steeler head coach, Mike Tomlin, would say, our arrow is pointing up. Not so much this last weekend when they played, but it was great things on the horizons for the ATA.
Yes, sir.
And I'm excited for it. I'm just glad to be part of it and just look forward to seeing everybody either on a virtual training seminar or live somewhere across the country.
Yes, sir. Well, I appreciate your time today and all the hard work you do at ATA headquarters for us. And I'm sure we'll talk to you soon.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate it. Have a great afternoon.
Thanks, sir. Another great interview from Chief Master Skiles. All kinds of amazing things coming out of ATA headquarters. I am loving the color belt weapons. I'm excited about all these other things. So I'm going to add those to some of my goals for 2022 as well. Now, last episode, we talked about two different laws of making a new habit, making good habits from the book Atomic Habits. And I want to hit two more before we end for the year to really help set you up for success in planning your goals for 2022. I know I've got to continue to set my goals for 2022. Maybe we'll share those. You know what? Maybe I'll do that with the insiders. If you're an insider, maybe you'll get a sneak peek at some of my goals for 2022. But let's go with the third rule. Last week, we talked about rule number one or law number one is make it obvious. Make your habit something obvious, easy. We set implement intentions like I will do this behavior at this time in this location. So it's really obvious when I'm going to do it, how it's going to happen. We talked about making it attractive. Okay. Temptation bundling, building it together with another habit or another action that you do already. Now we want to talk about making these habits easy. Really important to reduce the friction. So this is a big one I talk to my students about when they say, hey, my son just doesn't want to come to classes. When he gets here, he really enjoys class, but it's just such a pain to get him to come to class. This reduce friction is what we need to do here. Too often when we get home, let's say from school, or it's, you know, we've got a half hour till taekwondo class or time to leave for class, and I'm sitting and playing video games instead of, you know, doing something else. So reducing friction would be to take away some of those things that are making it hard to go to taekwondo. Well, I'm sitting. I already, you know, had my snack. I'm playing video games right now. It's not easy to leave my video games and go to taekwondo class. Now, if what I'm doing right before taekwondo maybe is cleaning my room or having to do some extra homework or whatnot, it's really easy to get up and go to taekwondo then, because I don't want to do that. Okay, I've reduced the friction, the hard part about it. Okay, so we want to do what you can to get rid of the steps between you and your good habit. Like if I have to wake up and decide what my workout's going to be that day, it's just like, oh, I got to, what am I going to do? Oh, now I got to think about what I'm going to do. Now I'll just maybe, and you just don't end up doing it. Okay. Make it easy. Another tip for this, making it easy, is use the 2 minute rule. Okay. Downscale your habit until they can be done in 2 minutes or less. So obviously this doesn't mean your workout's going to be 2 minutes, but maybe the habit is, if my taekwondo class is at 5:30, every day, and I have to leave at 5:15, 5 o'clock every day, my habit is I put my uniform on. It takes less than 2 minutes. That's just a habit. Put my uniform on. Then obviously the next steps are going to taekwondo. But if I've got my uniform on, that's that first step, that first barrier of entry. Maybe for us adults who maybe don't have as much trouble going to class, but have trouble, you know, getting up and doing our workout in the morning, maybe. The first thing you do when you get out of bed is put on your gym shorts and your running shoes. That's what you do as soon as you get out of bed. Less than 2 minutes. Really easy. It's reduce the friction to moving forward with the rest of that habit, right? Same with part of that making it easy, is getting your environment ready. Right? So you lay out my tennis shoes are already next to the bed. My, you know, what running clothes or what workout clothes I'm going to wear right next to bed. Everything's ready to go. So that I'm able to not have to think about it and find my shoes, and I'm like, oh, it's just gonna be so hard, so I just might as well not do it. We've got to make the habit easy to do. All right. In some ways you can automate your habit a little bit too. That's cool. If there's things you can do to automate it, depending on what your habit is as well. Next law. So we've talked about making it obvious, make it attractive, make it easy. Last one we're going to hit is make it satisfying. All right. Give yourself a reward right away. As soon as you complete the goal for the day, what's your reward? I get a cup of coffee after I do my 30 pushups in the morning. You don't get your coffee until you do your pushups. Okay. Your reward is your cup of coffee. Okay. You know, what is the immediate reward right after? Something small. Okay. That you can do. Make like a habit tracker a lot of times is a good way to make it satisfying, make it enjoyable, because it's great to check something off a checklist and then see that streak continue. I know for myself, I'm doing this recovery challenge, kind of a you know, recovering the body a little bit during the month of November. And if I don't hit a certain step goal each day, I don't get certain points. It's satisfying to me to get the points and make sure I'm doing well on this leaderboard. That is exciting to me. Right? So something where a competition, a lot of times, you know, Fitbit competitions, fitness competitions, there's lots of different apps you can use out there for that. Make it satisfying. Give yourself a reward. Track it. Don't break the chain. Never miss twice in a row. Always make sure I miss today's workout. I'm not going to miss 2 days in a row. I'm going to make sure I do the next day. Okay. Or whatever the habit is, don't miss it twice in a row. That's going to help continue to make it satisfying. And you like, it's easier when we make these habits that are, they start to stack on each other and they build off of each other. They motivate each other, and as it keeps going, it gets easier and easier. It's like rolling, up a snowball. It just gets bigger and bigger as it goes downhill. All right. So that is my suggestions. Actually, they're not my suggestions. They're the book Atomic Habits. I definitely suggest that you go pick that up before the end of the year. I think you will enjoy that and be ready to rock and roll. So ladies and gentlemen, extra long episode for you today, but it's the last one for the year. If you have not gone back and listened to our other episodes, this is the 36th one. Make sure you go pick them up. Okay. You got the month of December to go and listen to the past episodes, get in the insiders and get ready for a whole new year of awesome episodes. So ladies and gentlemen, for the last time in 2021, make sure you're out there taking action.
Thanks for listening to another episode of the ATA Nation podcast. Be sure to subscribe and share with your ATA family.
Oh man, last episode of the year. I can't believe it. I'm a little sad about it, honestly. But I think having December off will be good. We're going to get some episodes, some interviews recorded. We're going to have some people on. I want to talk about some fitness stuff. Who would you love to hear from? Think about fitness for the new year, about your martial arts fitness, about getting motivated to get healthy in 2022. You know, that's a big push in January. And I think it's important for us martial artists to make sure we're taking our health seriously as well. So I thought we'd kick off January with that. Let me know who you'd love to hear from and other topics that you'd like to hear, other guests that you'd like to hear from. I want to know from you guys. Join the insiders, guys. If you're not part of the insiders, like, what are you doing? Text me, 260-250-3975. Master Shank, I'm talking to you. You've heard this like 1,000 times and you still haven't texted me. I'm a little sad, sir. Take care, guys.